All right, who's kicking us off?
Larry can.
Yeah, go ahead, Larry. Since I don't know what happened on Monday.
Man, I had this number programmed in my phone, so it dials automatically even the conference thing. So I don't know. But I knew something was strange though, because there was nobody on except me. So I didn't know if I had an email issue and you changed something, and I just didn't get it.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah, I didn't change anything. Weird.
All right, so I'm building some momentum with a combination of things. So I closed this property in my home market. We closed it Friday.
Yep. How'd you do on that one?
So that was that ended up being $3,500. It was going to be $5,000.
That's right. And you explained there was a lien that came in, and you guys all split it. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, we split it three ways.
Yep.
Well, we split it half with the seller and 25% between. Well, no, that's what we meant to do anyway. But that's done. And I ran into this portfolio guy. No. So the same, my buyer for that property, he's my best buyer. And so he had this meetup, and I went there just to drink and to see him, because I hadn't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
So he was telling the crowd that he had this portfolio of properties that I was telling you about. And so we're about to pursue that. And so I'll let you know more about that offline. But anyway, so what's going on is I'm getting leads. I have leads for my home market and some of the surrounding areas.
Yep.
I still have the leads for my first city that I expanded into.
Yep.
My phone sales guy, he says he wants to start. This is the guy that had to delay getting started, but he keeps canceling. He canceled the training that I had for him the day of twice. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to train him Saturday morning,
okay.
But I'm also going
to
advertise and get two more people and train all three of them at the same time.
Gotcha.
And
cool.
And I also, even before him, I decided that I have to keep calling. But while I was preparing for him, my business needs to process 75 leads a day, and I think one person can do like 35 leads a day.
75 is heavy for sure, especially once they get into follow up and that whole thing. That's too many. 20 to 35. So I think I've shared with everybody on here the sales goals for Rob's sales team is 35 calls a day, not 35 leads. So they want an attainable goal. Obviously, these people are working full time. If they're not making 35 calls, they're on the way out, right? But that's just 35 calls, not 35 leads. So
I want that to be the case. So the result that I'm trying to attain, I'm trying to get a contract a day once everything's ramped up.
Yeah.
So I would
five
love
contracts
for
a week, so 20 deals a month.
Yes, that's my goal. But okay. I'm more focused now on just putting the things in place that will allow that to happen. I used to be more focused on the result and not as focused on the system.
And here's the thing. That is the result. The contract is the result. What will get you there is the number of offers.
Right.
So you can't control what people are going to accept. I mean, you can get better at it. You can negotiate well. You can listen. You can build rapport, right? All those things can be improved upon. At the end of the day, when you throw a number on the table, you know, clearly you can't know if they're going to take it or not. But what you can control is how many offers are being made.
So this week I'm putting I'm splitting my effort. I'm calling on my own so that I can get a feel for it and so that I can train these guys better. But I'm also making sure that by Saturday I'm ready to give them as clear instruction as I can and all the accountability things, quotas and all of that, and how they're going to report to me. I want to try to give them the best training I can give them on Saturday so that all three of us, three or four of us, including me, are making offers next week.
Nice. if I'm telling you, get it to set the expectation. The bar is an offer a day. And that's a that's an attainable bar, but what you're going to find is that they're not going to hit it right away. But within probably 2 weeks, you got to let them know, we got to be at an offer a day. And that, you know, some days they'll make more, so call it five a week if you want. That's how it breaks down. But it's doable, and that'll, you know, things will launch if you can really get it there. And I know you can, so make that the benchmark.
I like that.
All about number of offers going out the door. And let me fill some other people in who are on the call, but just real quick. So you go to this meetup, and you start talking, and then you find out about a 49-deal portfolio in Memphis, right?
Right.
So you've got to get plugged in. Local meetups, investor groups, tell your story. This is what we do. This is how we operate. You just never know. So here's what's crazy. I mean, I know how this all went down, but and maybe you can tell the story just really quick, but you find somebody there that has a 49 property deal in Memphis. Well, you just happen to know some buyers in Memphis.
Right.
Rob and Brad. So you go to a meetup in a totally different state and just happen to get into a conversation about this. So yeah, maybe tell that story really quick, because that cracks me up.
Yeah. So my buyer, he's hosting the meetup, and I didn't even know what type of meetup it was, but so what he's doing is he's trying to, you know, our market is so crazy. So he's also training wholesalers. You know, he's doing everything he can do to get people to bring him property.
Yeah.
So I walked in there blind. I came in at a drink, and I heard him say that, and I also ended up having to participate in the meeting more than I expected, because he and I have been doing business, you know, for the last couple of years. So we were actually talking about things we actually did together. And he mentioned to the group that, you know, he just came across this package of 49 properties in Memphis. You know, he said he'll see if he can assign it to somebody. If not, you know, it's no harm, no foul. So, you know, I heard that. So I text him after the meeting, say, hey, I know a guy that's buying a lot of properties in Memphis. If you want to work together, let me know. And he said, yeah. And he sent me the portfolio, and I talked to the guy that had, you know, so I don't want to burn, so not everybody knows that we're talking about Rob. I didn't want to just send him some foolishness. So I actually talked to the person that's direct with the seller, so that I can get direct with the seller. But regardless, he's already direct with the seller, and he's fine with whatever I have to do to make the paperwork work for me. But so I'm about to send you guys that list tonight.
Cool.
I'm going to go through the numbers and kind of summarize. But it's legit. It's not somebody who's just talking about something that they don't have access to. This is legit. And I'm trying to get, so he has some more that are with some other people. So he's going to send me the loose ones as well, but I'll send you guys the 49 tonight. I'm pending the other ones.
When you get moving, you are going to come across this stuff. So I'm talking to a property manager, tell him what we're doing. And he goes, hey, I work with a group out of, California. They bought 20 houses here in town. They, you know, 2 years ago, they've sat vacant. They realized that it was a mistake. They shouldn't have bought them. And so I put an offer in on 12 of them here. I'm just waiting to hear back. Basically set a price and went in on 12. So this stuff's going to happen. You're going to come across it. Either you've got just a landlord that has, you know, a couple hundred doors, and they're saying, you know, these 15 are for sale. Or you're going to come across, you know, different scenarios like this. Sometimes it'll be a bank-owned tranche of deals. Sometimes it's just, you know, a private seller, an investment group bought them. You just never know. But to be able to tap into, see, this is why you got to keep building that buyers list. Because even this is where you plug into the network. If you're never in a position to buy, you know, 5, 12, 20, 50 houses at a time, whether you don't have the capital personally or the private money or that, this is where you tap into your buyers, your buyer network. And you do exactly what Larry just did. You heard Memphis, your ears perked up. You said, I know buyers in Memphis that already have an operation going. And so he shoots the text over, you know, to the guy that has access to the 49 and says, hey, I know a really active buyer in Memphis. You know, you want to work this thing together. And you get in on it, and it just goes to the network. Robin Bratter and all your networks. That's how this works. And that's why you want that buyer's list as big as possible, because deals like this, this is how they get put together. Somebody knows somebody who knows somebody, and they you tap into networks. That's exactly how it gets done. So, yeah, it's cool stuff. I'm hoping you guys put it together. That'd be a fun one. And here's the thing. I don't think I've mentioned this before, but Brad and Rob have a buyer that they've already talked to that in 90 or 120 days, I can't remember, it's a couple months out still, but they came to them and said, they basically reached out and said, hey, we've got some turnkey rentals for sale. Do you want to buy them? And they say, we buy 25 at a time. Can you fulfill an order like that? And they said, absolutely. So now you see how, you know, maybe this 49 helps them fulfill that order, but this is a big pooled money operation. And they park some of the assets in residential real estate, specifically single family homes. And they buy packages of 25 properties at a time. And so they told them we can absolutely fulfill it. They're not ready to yet. It happens at some point this summer. But when that's a go, Brad and Rob are going to, you know, they're going to drum up the private money. They're going to quit wholesaling. So they'll keep generating leads, but instead of wholesaling them, they're going to start closing them in-house, fix them up in-house with the private money, package up 25, and then move it to this group. So, and they, you know, that's doable because they just started out doing ones and twos, and then they meet a buyer who says, hey, here's what we're looking for. Can you handle this? So that's how this stuff comes together. And that's why you're always, always, always building the network, always. So what I'm doing is Paul and I finally finalized a name, and so we're going to be Coast to Coast Turnkey Rentals because we're going to be in multiple markets. We already are. And we're going to Dallas-Fort Worth next. And so we just had a logo. We went on Fiverr.com, had a logo made up. And I work remote, which most of you do too. Whether you have a full-time job or not, you're out and about. I'm going to slap that logo on T-shirts. And maybe a hat. I'm going to wear that sucker around. And I go into Starbucks to get some work done. And you just never know. I met guys the other day. I was sitting in there doing some work, and they're having a conversation talking real estate in the table next to me. So they get up to go. One guy leaves. The other guy, you know, putting his notebook in his bag. And I just came over, and I said, hey, I heard you guys talking about real estate. We're yakking. So you just – that message has always got to be getting out, right? We're in sales, everybody, like it or not. You always got to be selling. One more story quick, and I'll get another update, Larry, and see if you have any more questions. But so Rob has rented a building for years, corporate office space. And the landlord there, his name is Richard, but that's just what he goes by. He's an Asian guy. I'm not sure where he's from. Super nice guy. Always been really helpful. Runs the building, and he and Rob have conversations. And so Rob goes walking into the building the other day. And Richard's in there doing something, and Rob, being the forever salesperson, right, he goes walking over to him, and they're talking about the thermostat in the office or whatever, and then he goes, hey, Richard, by the way, I've got properties, turnkey rental properties in Memphis. When are you going to buy one from me? He didn't ask him if he wanted to buy one. He said, when are you going to buy one from me? And he goes, turnkey rentals, really? What's your price point? And Rob goes, you know, typically 40 to 60, and it'll rent for about $1,100 a month. And Richard goes, do you have any right now? And Rob goes, yeah, I've got a handful. He goes, Richard tells Rob, pick one out for me. I'll buy it. And if this one works well, I'll take 10 to 12 more. And he's just yakking, talking about the thermostat, but he's always selling every conversation. Hey, Richard, when are you going to buy a deal from me? Got turnkey rentals in Memphis. So the first one is already tied up. Richard set the close on it, and he makes that comment. If this one goes good, I want 10 to 12 more. And then through conversation, Richard has friends who are also looking for investment property. See how this comes together? Because he's just having the conversation, always in sale mode, right? And it's not over the top. It's not in your face. Nobody's uncomfortable. Rob just makes kind of a tongue-in-cheek comment, hey, when are you going to buy a rental property from me? That's it. So I want those conversations going on all the time. You guys are always in sales mode, right? I mean, if you opened up a – if you bought a franchise or opened up a sandwich shop or whatever, you would – everybody in your life would know that you're slinging sandwiches. And so this is no different. We're slinging real estate. Everybody's got to know it. So, all right. Larry, what else?
No other questions. I have a tech support question. I can send it. I'm trying to make sure I understand, and I don't want you to answer here. I just need to know which email to send it to. Like once you put a record into a campaign,
yep.
Are you able to remove it from a campaign? Like, so I have the source campaign. I sent up and I gave it to my Skip Tracer. So this is what really happened. So one of the phone sales guys, I put some leads into a campaign for him, and now I need to move it into another. This is what's going to happen. So once I had a guy that didn't work out, I was going to move his
rename the campaign and change the permissions to the new salesperson. Leave it.
All right. So that works for the situation where the other guy no longer exists.
It does.
But in a situation where – I guess you're answering my question then. Once it's in there, it's in there.
Once it's in there, it's in there.
Okay, cool.
Yep. You got it. Okay, man. Good update. You got salespeople training on Saturday. I'm doing the same thing. New salespeople coming in, right? We've been talking about it. It doesn't – the personnel piece, right? Do your best. Hire slow. Fire quick. See if you can find a handful of people to go on a good run with you in this business. And you'll find them. Sometimes we got to go through a couple. I'm doing the same thing right now. So you got a lot of good stuff happening. And then, you know, Larry showed up. He showed up at a meeting, and he's in the middle of a potential 49 transaction deal with Brad and Rob. I'm telling you, you got to plug in, show up, you know, go to that stuff. I know it's right. It's time away from family and this, that, and the other, but, again, you got to look at this like, we got to treat this like it's a business and not a hobby. So, again, if you went $500,000 in on a Subway franchise and you parted with that kind of cash, we would just do everything and, right, everything. We'd constantly be marketing. We got to treat this the same way. Everybody has to know that we're buying real estate and that's what we do, however you're going to tell them, right? Always in sales mode. So, because we all know Richards that Rob talked to. You just haven't said anything yet. And that's just the truth. People want, I mean, especially in this market cycle, people want to buy real estate. They know what a fantastic investment it is. They have no idea how to find it. If it has any level of distress, they have no idea how to fix it up. They just don't know. They want in, they just don't know. And we're the solution for it, right? For some of you, like I was talking Monday, sell to these people and then charge them for some construction management. But this is what Rob, Rob's told his story over and over, but this is what he did back in the day. He started out wholesaling, then he said, hey, how can I get paid again? He's like, well, I know some contractors. So he starts talking to his buyers, and he says, would you buy real estate if you didn't have to do the construction, if I took care of that part for you? And he found a couple people to say, yeah, that's what's holding me back. I don't know how to do the construction. I don't have any time to manage it. Rob goes, great. I got hired out of college by some GCs. Let me plug into them. They're reputable. I'll just connect the dots. I'll oversee it for you, oversee the construction. So we started, sold this guy a deal for $7,000 and then made $2,500 in construction management. So that's still you're not swinging hammers or any of it. It's just getting creative. So, all right, who else? Who's next? Mike Drace, I know you were on here earlier.
Yep.
You want to jump in?
Sure. Yeah, so kind of running into a little issue with the bird dogs again.
Okay.
Put another ad on and just trying to get some more leads coming in. We called on those 175 or so that I had in there that come to we made those offers and stuff on. Still kind of trying to figure out what's going on with the return on the offers. My sales guy's kind of, I'm giving him some training on it. He seems to have a pretty good handle on it, but not sure if that's, just how to proceed with figuring out how he's doing and how the conversations are going. I know I got that FreedomSoft number. I've got purchased. I'm trying to figure it out right now how to use it. I have never used an online number like that, so I'm trying to figure out what I got to buy a microphone and stuff for my computer to build a talk on it or how that all works.
Yeah, a couple of things. So let me address that really quick. My recommendation, everybody, FreedomSoft now records phone numbers. So you just pay for the storage. You can go in there and see pricing. It's not outrageous. So if you go in and grab a FreedomSoft number on the My Numbers page in your settings, over on the right-hand side, there's a little icon now. It looks like a little like voice chat or whatever. Hover over it, and it'll say call recording. So you click on that, and then on that next page, you can just turn it on or off. So it's either active or it's not. But here's what's so valuable is when you have a service like that where all the calls are recorded, so you as owner, obviously, if you're not the one on the call, you can go in and chime in and listen and see how your salesperson's working. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Make sure they follow the script. And this is a really powerful example. I learned this recently. So the first salesperson, I've mentioned him on here before, the first salesperson that Brad and Rob hired in Memphis was Chris. And Chris's best 2 months were months 1 and 2, when he knew the least about the position and what he was doing, because he just worked the script. And then he started getting confident, and then you start skipping steps. And that script is really designed, right, to build some rapport. I mean, a lot of times a good conversation with a seller like that is 30 to 45 minutes, right, where you're getting to know them a little bit. You're building rapport. People want to do business with people that they know, like, and trust, and that doesn't happen immediately. And so when you have a copy of the script, and then you can go in and listen to a recording, you can see what's going on. I mean, are they making an offer within 3 minutes? With the phone call, it's way too quick, right? They're not building any rapport. They're not getting to know the seller on the other end of the line. So, just a little, it's not like it's this massive revenue generator for Rob. That's not how he priced it. It's about a break even, and he just knew that this is a needed feature so that you can listen in on calls. So as soon as it went live, I've got all my numbers in there. The call recording's turned on, and it's totally slick. You can just log in and hear what's going on. So anyway, Mike, back to your it sounds like you've grabbed a FreedomSoft number or two. It just makes life so much easier when you can just park it there.
Okay. So I just got to get that dialed in, figured out. So I'm working on that. Bird dogs are really fickle in that town. I tell you what, just really difficult. I had a flurry, right before Christmas is when I started putting the ad out. And I only had about 15 replies through the holiday and after the first of the year. I put one on last week, and I had like 15 replies in the first day.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the people that were probably working jobs retail after the holiday probably are let go and really starting to look, but not finding people that really are excited about getting out there and going. They'll talk to them and they're, start asking too many questions and, how do I get paid if I go drive and I don't see anything? And, just a lot of whining before they even start. So I'm just like, yeah, no, this ain't going to work.
right.
But I've got a few that I'm trying to get plugged in. My sales guy burned through those numbers where he's going to start calling a lot of them later in the afternoon. He knows that town and that market, and he says, most of these people are probably going to be at work and then getting home. Usually they get home like after 3:30, 4 o'clock. So he's going to start calling more in the afternoon.
Yep.
He went out today because he kind of finished all the list and just needed to go back and do follow-up calls. And so he went out for about 4 hours and got about 30 leads in. So he might do that for a day or two just so we can get it built back up so I can have some more skip traced while I'm trying to
gotcha.
Get another bird dog nailed down and put in the field.
So he's wearing a few different hats, which is fine.
Yeah, and he wants to. He's excited about doing whatever he can, however he can to help. So,
Okay, cool.
I know I told him getting some deals on the table and getting them closed is our number one priority. But when we ran out of leads to call, during that part of the day, I kind of just made a move and said, yeah, let's just, because he gets them done, gets the leads in super fast, and he's really keen to what he's looking for. I mean, he'll see a house that looks pretty distressed, and there were some cars in the driveway, and they were all plates were out of date by 3-4 years. So he tells me it was probably just storing cars there. So, he's picking up on small stuff like that and sending them in. So it's pretty cool. Invaluable, but he's too valuable behind the wheel. So I'm just going to kind of let him do that, get some more things going. Those seven offers that we made last week, heard back from about four of them. They're sitting a lot higher. One of them's way upside down on his house. The ARVs in that area are in the 90s, and he owes like 120 on it.
Oh, so yeah. So he's upside down by quite a bit.
So so he bought when the market was high and just been struggling to get through it. A couple of the other ones, they're wanting a lot more than what the prices are supporting. I mean, if they're not retail, but they're too high, too close to retail. There's no room for a fix and flip or a buy and hold just because the rents aren't supporting where they're at. So I'm making the offers at where they need to be. And if they fit, they fit. They don't, move on.
That's it.
So, other than that, just got to get this thing, get some more leads in and get them skip traced. I'm having some, I don't know if it's the skip tracer but I'm getting a lot of invalid info on the leads.
So a couple of things, that can happen. I mean, you right, as owner, we've got to be evaluating what's happening here. So make sure, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I set up a few custom fields where they're putting the skip trace numbers, the VA's name, who did the skip trace, and then the service that they used. So they do all the steps, copy and paste the numbers, and then they select their name, and then the skip trace service, and then save it. And then that way we know if we have to go back and redo it or skip trace it again, we know to use a different service. So you may want to put that in play. What service did the VA tell you they're using?
He told me he's using Nexus to Lexus.
Okay.
And the original, he said he had TLO and he had, a couple other in his resume. And he had worked in FreedomSoft, so he obviously had some experience in the system, which helped because he showed me some things by default that I didn't know.
Yeah, shoot him an email and say, you told me you're using Lexus. Is that still the case? Because historically, we should have about, 70 to 80% good numbers with Lexus Nexus, and we're just not finding that, and see what they tell you.
Yeah.
And if you need to ask for a screenshot, hey, man, I just need to verify that you're using Lexus, log in, send me a screenshot and see if they
What's the general price that they're charging for per lead for doing skip trace?
Yeah, 40 to 75 cents typically has been the range, and that's I'm kind of putting all notes together from coaching students and myself.
Okay.
So I'm paying a guy right now 50 cents for a personal record search, 75 for a business company research. Yeah, and 50 is probably a little high for a personal. I mean, they literally type in most of these services, and I've never personally used Lexus, but in Intellius, you copy and paste the name and the city and state of their mailing address and hit search and then copy and paste. I mean, it's simple. So 50 is maybe a little high, but at the end of the day, you know, here's how we were looking at it. We generated the lead for $3, and now I'm paying 50 to 75 cents for research. So I've got a $3.65 lead. That's pretty inexpensive.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, my VA is happy with that pay. Paul and I are happy to pay it. But it's not costing us a ton of money. And so we just, you know, it's maybe a little bit higher, but we just said, that's fine. Let's get him working. So that's where we're at, 50 and 75.
Okay. Yeah, I'm paying a little bit more than that. I'm probably paying about 80 per person. So.
And you're still, here's what you want. You want good data.
Exactly.
If you're getting 70 to 80% of the numbers are accurate, so be it. I mean, even if you had to pay a buck or a buck 50, so what? These are inexpensive leads.
Yeah. And when you have them reskip trace, you got to pay them again, obviously, because they've already done the work once, so you got to
that adds another 50 cents to a dollar, so you're in it for $5.
Yeah.
I mean, good real estate leads will sell for $16 to $25 a piece,
yeah,
a lead, and we're generating them for less than $5.
Yeah.
So, you're right in there. I think you're close enough. If you want to grab, I mean, just like with salespeople, you can't have one VA in case they go, you know, in case they disappear and you need something done. So, yeah, I'm, you know, use different campaigns in FreedomSoft. Don't run all your leads into one place. Give VAs access to one at a time. Don't just give them access to everything in your account. That way, you know, I've got 3 VAs working right now, and none of them know that there's any other VA because they can't see any other campaigns or leads.
Okay.
So, I've got the guy that's 50 to 75 cents, and then I had a gal that we were using a while ago. She lost her TLO access, but sent me an email and said, hey, Mike, I have access. And I hadn't heard of this one. She said it was really good, and so I had a VA that brought in like 120 leads or something like that, and we hadn't skip traced them yet, and so I put her on it to see how this new service works. So, you know, just be controlling that for now.
Okay.
Some of you may get to the point where you've got a leads manager in place, part-time or full-time, and, you know, so get used to moving this stuff around so you can train on it when the time comes. Because this is what a leads manager does, right? Keep them coming in, make sure they're organized, keep the skip tracers moving, probably have them, you know, send direct mail or whatever you're going to do for lead gen. But
also doing the verifying the leads that they're sending in.
Uh-huh.
And I've been doing that on my own, obviously. I don't have nobody else in place. So I've been just plugging it into Google and then in Zillow, just making sure it's on or off market or what it is. And while I'm in those, I just copy and paste the information out of that because I'm in that Zillow ad already. Just grab all the text at the top of the Zillow ad that shows the square footage and you know, recent sales history and stuff like that, so that it's our.
So here's what I want you to do. A couple things. Spot check your leads as they come in, maybe every 10. Don't go through every one if you are, because that's not highest and best use of time. That information, while that, you know, that seems handy, like you have it up front, I'm telling you, most of these leads are not going to go to closing or contract. That's going to be a small percentage of them. So you're doing work on leads that aren't going anywhere. And so my recommendation to you is, spot check them. Make sure you're getting the right product. You're going to get some overlap, and you're going to get some that aren't vacant. But if your bird dogs hit on the majority, you're good. So spot check a couple, get them paid, and then don't be going through them one by one if that's what you were doing. Put your time into better use activities, which would be jump on the phone with your salesperson maybe, or meet buyers, right? So that when you're at a meetup and somebody says, I've got a 49 deal package, you know exactly who in the network to bring that to help you get it to the table.
Okay. So. My call just dropped off again. I just had to call back in. I don't know what happened.
Okay. I was just saying.
It went dead.
Spot check. spot check a handful of those, but don't be going through every lead that comes in and copy and pasting things from Zillow, because you're doing a bunch of work on deals that aren't going to go anywhere.
Sure.
So spot check every 10 or 20. Make sure the leads are coming in, right? Your bird dogs aren't going to be perfect. You're going to pay for some, you know, maybe a couple duplicates over time. You're going to pay for some that are occupied. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Put your time, energy, and effort into making sure the team is moving forward. If you need to fill any holes there, and meeting buyers.
Okay.
Focus on that. I don't want you doing busy work.
Sure.
It's just not worth it. So and here's what's really hard not to do is to do some due diligence on properties before they're under contract. And I'm telling you that very little due diligence needs to take place prior to contract. Get it tied up first, right? Be the buyer that has now the controlling interest in the deal with the paperwork, and then all the due diligence comes in. This is why you want salespeople going to offer on the first phone call. If the deal's tied up at too high of a price, that's fine, because now you're going to do your inspection. You're going to realize, oh, we thought this thing needed $15,000, it needs $35,000, and you go back and renegotiate. But now you are the controlling party in the deal. You're the buyer, and you have the contract, you have the paperwork in place. That's when the due diligence takes place. Prior to that, your salespeople are running a couple quick numbers, right? And I've been working with a strategy where we're going, and I've talked about it on the call here. That first phone call, they're giving the seller a price range, right? Like in St. Louis, we're telling them like $5,000 to $20,000. It's all over the board based on how much work the property needs. And then we're doing an inspection, and then we go back and say, based on what we found, here's what we can pay. And it's worked fairly good. We're going to phase that out. February 1st, our salespeople are going to offer on the first phone call, and we're going to do it the other way.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
But yeah, as little work as possible on the front end.
Yeah.
And that's really a counterintuitive. I'm explaining it because you just, everybody innately, you think, wait a minute, I'm going to make an offer and put my name to this thing, and I'm not really going to know what's going on with the deal. That doesn't make sense. And so that's why we have to talk about it. You're going to get so much more efficient when you sort of go ready, fire, aim with that process. And over time, you're going to get better. And this is where buyer conversations, asking them where do they buy, what do you pay in that zip code, just asking a bunch of questions. I was on the phone with a buyer this morning, and I was on the phone for about 25, 30 minutes with him. How do you run your numbers? And he says, you know, I got to make 15%. And I said, 15% on what? 15% of what number? After repaired value, what? You know, the amount of money you're borrowing? So after a few questions like that, he goes, Mike, tell you what, let me just send you my deal spreadsheet that I use. Bam. He says, what's your email? I tell him, a couple minutes later, he's got it on a Google Doc, sends it over, and this is his company's spreadsheet that they built. Bam. And then I said, okay, now when you pull this thing up with a new address, walk me through, what do you fill in? And he goes, okay, I start here, and then I go here, and then I go here, all right? This was a 30-minute buyer conversation where I just took notes, and I ended up with his deal spreadsheet. Now, do you think when I called him, and I have a deal that we're going to make an offer on this afternoon or tomorrow, and so now, do you think I can't go back to this guy? And actually, I said, well, I have you on the phone. Let me give you this address. I'm about to make an offer on it. What would you pay for this thing? And he goes, he said, I'd pay you $47,000 for it. I'm like, great. Now I just need to be cheaper than that with the seller, right? So my point is, I asked, that's all I did. I asked this guy questions. It was a 30-minute buyer conversation. This is a guy that he's always buying. Did a ton of wholesale deals last year, 33 flips, ramping it up this year, has a team of like 6 people, he and his wife, and then 4 or 5 others. Active buyer, always has money to spend, always looking for a deal. And so this isn't a, right? My point here is you've got to know your buyers. So those are the kind of conversations that, Mike, you want to be having dispositions eventually. But for now, if you all have salespeople working acquisitions, these are the conversations you're having with buyers. You have to know intimate details about how they run their numbers. Because now I have his calculator. So if when I get a deal, right, not if, but I'm going to save the link to that Google Doc in FreedomSoft, right? I saved it with all my notes to his buyer profile. So now when deals come up, I can go to his calculator, punch the numbers in, and then call him up and just say, I mean, how powerful is this? Hey, man, I just ran 123 Main Street through your calculator that you gave me. This thing's a deal. Let me get you over to look at it, right?
Yeah.
That's where you want to go with the buyer conversations. So ready, fire, aim when it comes to offers.
Okay.
Get the offers going out the door. And, Mike, you've been doing a great job. If somebody's made more offers than you in the group in the last 10 days, I don't know about it. I mean, you've been firing them out there. We've been talking about generate leads, make offers, meet buyers. If those three things aren't right next to your in your workstation somewhere, you got to put them there. Everything that we do is geared to those three things. Generate leads, make offers, meet buyers. You keep those three at the forefront of what you're doing, and your business will go to the right place.
Sounds good.
Good update.
I'm good there, so thank
cool.
you.
Cool. Who else?
Hey, what's up, Mike? It's Ryan.
Hey, Ryan. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, man.
Good. So I just brought on another salesperson today.
Okay.
So she's going to make some calls. She's going to make some calls tonight. And, you know, I'm going to see how it goes this week for her.
Did you give her a disc test?
Yep. I gave her a disc test. She scored high on D and high on I.
Nice. Okay.
Yep. So I'm going to see how it worked out. I got her trained up, got her the scripts, got her set up in FreedomSoft. You know, she has a – you know, she's interested in, you know, learning more about real estate. You know, I started off slow, just let her know, you know, we're just trying to get information about the properties, you know, gauge motivation, all that good stuff.
That's right.
You know, I told her, and I kind of let her know, you know, where the position could go in the future, you know, once she shows me that she can do well in this position, just doing this little part. So she was excited about that.
Sure.
I'm
going to
see how
Where did you tell her this could go with your company?
I told her that it can eventually evolve into a position in which she would, you know, be doing some of the things. Because I told her right now that she's just getting the information, and then I'll be coming in behind her and putting in the offers. But I let her know that eventually I wanted it to evolve into something where, you know, she learns how to evaluate deals and make offers herself.
Yep, absolutely. And even beyond that, you guys, so – just real quick, I brought in Chris. Chris is going to run the whole sales side. So Chris can make up to 20% at closing. The rest of the team can make up to 16. And we've still been able to find people with that, but that leaves a little room on there for Chris to get an override for overseeing the sales team. So that's how we did it, Paul and I. The other thing, too, is I was talking last week. Brad and Rob now are looking to take their construction manager – is now also working dispositions, and they think within 6 months he's going to be the market manager of Memphis. And let him, he's going to write, he already knows construction, he's working on dispositions. When he's in dispositions, he's working with the sales team. He's going to know all facets of the business, and they can turn that sucker over and say, okay, everything is now coming to you. You're running point. Right, you make sure run the sales meeting, bam, bam. Make sure everybody's on the same page. Make sure leads are coming in, and just let him run the entire market. And you all can be in that position as well. You know how to evaluate different cities, how to fire up another one. So if you want to be in 1, 2, 10, 20, knock yourself out. So just a little side note there. So there is room for growth. If anybody ever asks you that question, so
Yep, and I definitely tried to highlight that, you know, to give a little, you know, something to kind of look forward to, a little growth opportunity. She was excited about that. I'm gonna see how it goes because, you know, I've had a couple of salespeople already and they haven't, you know, stood the test of time thus far. So, but I know it's an ongoing process, so I'm staying positive about it. And I'm also, I'm also looking to bring on another guy. I mean, it's, I'm looking to bring on, if I could get, one or two more salespeople, then, I could definitely, I'll definitely be happy about that. Like I said, it'll put some of that, good pressure on me, you know, to keep the deal pipeline full. So, I still have my post out for the position, hoping that I get some more good hits on it. And it's a good thing because she's local, so I'll be able to meet up with her and, you know, train her on some different things when necessary. So other than that, my focus this week will kind of be I need to get back focused in my remote market. I kind of slacked off on that this past week because I was kind of, you know, focused and busy in my home market. So I'm looking to get some reliable, hopefully I can find some reliable bird dogs this week and get those guys to work. I'm going to follow up on with some couple of guys who had some interest in it and, you know, see what I can find and see if I can just get someone out there and to, you know, get out there and actually try, because I get a lot of guys who, you know, they're saying they're interested, they're good to go, then you don't hear from them, you know, ever again. So,
right.
I've just been trying to focus on, finding some good bird dogs to do some driving for me in my remote market. And, you know, I'm going to really start contacting some buyers, also at the same time to kind of get my feet wet and see what people are looking for in that area. So, that's pretty much what I have going for this week.
Let me throw something in here. So
you
vocalized something that happens to everybody. Got busy, and then you came out and said some things didn't happen in my remote market. Here's where we have to get. You have to, right? Life is going to happen. So either you're going to be busy if you have a full-time job, or you're going to be busy with a closing on a deal, or you're going to be busy with fill in the blank. And then you're going to get to the end of the week and say, oh, man, nothing happened in this market where we still have a need. And so here's what I want to challenge everybody to do. You absolutely, we're going to work in the business and life is going to happen. And we're going to, right, everybody's busy and we're going to get sidetracked. However, when we throw on business owner hat, which you all are, we're entrepreneurs, every day, I don't care if it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, carve out some time every day for you to fly up at 10,000, at the 10,000 foot level and say, okay, I know I'm busy doing this, but for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to keep something moving forward. So Ryan, in your case this last week, it would have been in the remote market. And you say, man, I'm knee deep in this deal that I'm trying to get to the closing table and this is happening, but I got to take 20 minutes today and get up above the business, get out of the day to day and say what can be happening. And maybe you just updated an ad or two, trained up a new bird dog, so that you always have something or multiple things happening without your direct input. But we still have to manage them. We still have to keep the finger on our pulse. So, you know, I'm just using this to talk about this topic because I do it too. It happens to everybody. We get busy, and then a week goes by, and we think, dang, I needed another bird dog in this market, but I didn't find them, and now you still don't have leads coming in. There's nothing to skip trace, and we're not making any progress. And so we have to, right, I'm talking to myself here included, but we have to, on a daily basis, get up to the CEO level and say, okay, as the one person that's making sure all of these different pieces happen, what, you know, if we're stalled over here in your remote market, what can I do to jumpstart that today? I only have 20 minutes. But I'm going to do something today so that I don't, you know, go to bed and get up tomorrow and nothing has happened in this remote market where we need some things to start firing. So build that into your day. If it's the same time every day, if it's morning, at lunch, afternoon, I don't care. But practice being CEO for at least right? 15 to 30 minutes every single day.
Absolutely.
Get that in the schedule.
Absolutely.
Over time, you want that number to be 80% of your time is CEO and 20 or less is you're in the day-to-day stuff, right? It's not going to go there right out of the gate. But if we don't practice it now, we never learn how to delegate. Everything funnels through us. That's a very poor system, and the business it can't grow.
Yeah.
So everybody does it. You just happen to vocalize it, so I'm talking about it.
Yep, you're definitely right. You're definitely right.
So yeah, it's a great update. But be CEO for at least a little bit every single day.
Understood. I definitely have to do that. So I'll make sure I stay focused on, even though if I get busy in my home market, to always be doing something, you know, in my remote market also.
So yeah, and it's not even if you get busy. You will be busy. So that's what I'm saying. We got to carve out the time, all of us.
Right.
And I'm, like I said, I'm included here because I have to do it on a daily basis as well. So Paul and I, I've got a business partner, Paul. He and I talk every day. And when we do that, we talk CEO-level conversation, right? I mean, we get in the weeds a little bit, but that's the point of that call. It's a little bit tougher if you don't have a business partner. You just have to schedule it and make sure that you're staying in that mindset.
Okay.
So yeah, good update. Who else? And Ryan, you didn't have any other questions, right?
Nope, I was good to go.
Okay.
Nope, beautiful. I was good to go.
Okay. Who else? February 1st on Thursday. It's so cliche, but the more birthdays we have, the quicker time goes. It's the craziest thing. I mean, we're going to be through first quarter here before we blink. First quarter 2018.
It's going by crazy fast.
I'm telling you, we got it, right? It's time to step on it.
Yeah.
It's always time to step on it, but it's time to step on it. And I'm telling you guys that you've got to have these three things down. Generate leads. Where am I generating leads today? How many offers am I making today? How many buyers and who are the buyers I'm going to meet today? If you can keep the business focused on those three things, right, everything else that we do feeds one of those needs that the business has. It's all geared towards those three things. I mean, let's keep it simple. Generate leads, make offers, meet buyers. That's it. Let's boil it down to that.
So Mike, when you're contacting these new buyers, I mean, are you just like on a daily basis, you know, looking at checking Craigslist, Zillow to, you know, try to scour some new buyers, or are you having those numbers, you know, maybe your absentee list skip trace, and then you just call a handful of those guys every day?
All the above. You got it.
Okay.
Here's the other thing too that I haven't talked about in a while. You have to get on. You've got to go into your markets and jump on Google and type in. Let's say you're in Davenport, Iowa. Nobody's in that market, but you got to be searching for Davenport wholesalers, Davenport distressed real estate, Davenport fix and flip, Davenport rental properties. Right? You want to find the other wholesalers in your market and get on their list. Get on their buyer's list. Get access to their deals.
Okay.
Because you know what you can do? You've got to track. You have to track the properties that the other local wholesalers are moving. Because within 30 to 45 days after they, and this is just another way to meet buyers, but within 30 to 45 days after they're moving a deal, look it up on public records.
Yeah, I usually do that.
Some of these wholesalers never pull the addresses off their website. So Rob always does. After the deal is sold, he pulls the house number. So it just says Main Street. And then it says sold. So nobody can go back and do this. But a lot of them don't. And you can just go back into their buyer history, and they've got sold, 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 sold. skip trace those addresses. Look them up. Find the owner of record. Another great place to find buyers. So, yeah, to answer your question, all the above.
Yeah, I was just curious because I've been doing some of that same stuff, checking it each day. I've actually been talking to some, you know, I've met some good, some new buyers and stuff like that. So I was just trying to see if you had anything else that you were doing.
And you can always jumpstart it with the absentee list if you want to send them a direct mail piece through post, you know, through FreedomSoft. They'll obviously send it, or you can go to Click to Mail if you want to, you know, jumpstart it that way with a little piece of direct mail. You'll get some response to it. So. But yeah, all the above. And again, that is your network.
Yep.
That is your network. It's a buyer's list. So you already know they have access to money. I mean, some people are going to fake it and say, yeah, I'm a buyer, and they aren't. But you're going to have legitimate buyers on there too. And that, as that list grows, through those buyers, you will have access to millions and millions and millions of dollars. That's just how it works. I mean, Larry, he just told us how he's in the middle of a 49 property deal because of his buyer, a guy that he sold a couple deals to. They know each other. Goes to a meetup. Guy says, I'm trying to move a pack of 49 deals in Memphis. Larry shoots one text message because the relationship's there. Says, hey, I know a serious buyer in Memphis. You want to partner on this thing? No hesitation. He goes, sure. And now Larry's bringing it to Brad and Rob.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But Larry has zero, he had the relationship. He fires off a text message. And he finds himself in the middle of a 49 deal transaction. He sends an email. So he sends an email into the coaching email, and it says, hey, Rob and Mike, are you guys still buying in Memphis? I'm partnering on a 49 address deal there in Memphis. And I didn't reply to it, right? I was going to let Rob. And it took him like a day and a half to get back because he's a busy guy. And he fires back to Larry, absolutely, send me details. I mean, that's – so, Larry, I'm pretty sure you're still on there. You have a text message in this and a 15-word email. And now you're gathering info on properties. Now, I don't know where this thing goes, but if it goes anywhere, there are 49 deals. You can start running some basic math. You know, hopefully Larry and this other guy move this thing, and there's a big old payday out here. This is how networks work. I mean, the billionaires of the world just have these massive networks where they can make a call like this and get just about anything funded or done that they need done. I mean, can you imagine how much easier business is? The challenge is getting into that group,
yeah.
Right? Or, you know, the $10 million group, the $50 million group, the $100 million group. The more it goes up, the easier it is to get things done because of the network. And that's all business people do at that end. They just plug into the network. They hear about an opportunity. They say, oh, Ryan will know about that. I'm going to get Ryan involved. Hey, Ryan, I got something for you. Bam, bam, bam. Next thing you know, wheels are turning. Things are happening. That's how it works. Same thing Larry just did. Who else? That's why you plug into this buyers list, because you're going to meet multi-millionaires in there, and people just hang out with people of similar net worth. It's just the way the world works. So, like Rob's landlord at the business complex there, Richard just doesn't even blink an eye and says, at that price point, if this one works, I'll take 10 to 15 more. Guess who Richard knows? Other people who will take 10 to 15 more. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is. That's how it works, though. So we've, you know, it's that old saying, the best marketing wins, right? So ShamWow took a chamois. Chamois have been around as long as sheep. And they put some new marketing to it and sold boatloads. Because best marketing wins. And so as CEO of the company, right, is your message getting out there? And, you know, one of the ways it gets out there is the buyers. You know, if you watch Rob on social media, he's gotten good at it, right? You got to mix it up, some family stuff. But then, you know, he posts a lot of really just flagrant business, hey, check this out stuff. But he also brings a lot of value to the table, right? Somebody has a real estate question in a real estate group, he'll chime in and answer. He'll throw out a training. He'll say, hey, here's a different way to think about this, right? So he's built up some equity, and then that comes there. But everything he does is calculated. So he's either marketing or he's setting himself up in a certain position so that he can bring something to the table later. And so, you know, my question is, as owner of the company, are you thinking the same way? Are you getting your message out there? Do your family and friends even know what you're doing? That you buy and sell real estate? Do they know what kind of real estate you're looking for? There was one guy I talked to a couple years ago, and he didn't do this on purpose, but he got labeled the junkie house guy. Somebody called him that, and he's like, oh, I kind of like that. I'm going to run with it. And so now, that's who he is, the junkie house guy. And then so he's got people talking, hey, if you have a junkie house or know of one or whatever, you got to call this guy. And he's just starting to get calls. He's the junkie house guy. And so it was kind of by accident, but he kind of built this little brand for himself. We're always selling. I hope you all are talking, finding a way to talk real estate all the time. You should be if you're not. You got to fly that flag. Let people know what's going on. So that 30-minute buyer conversation I was having earlier, because I've got leads in a few different cities, so I asked him, I said, hey, do you buy anywhere else? And he goes, no, I'm just local. And I said, okay, you talk to anybody in your network or whatever that is looking to buy out of state, I'm your guy, have them call me. And he said, okay. Right? So we always got to be getting that message out and tell people who you're looking for, what you're looking for, that kind of thing. And it's not like you have to, you know, intentionally leave the house or make 10 phone calls a day to do it. Just start building it into your everyday conversations. That's all. Who else? Any other questions, updates? All right. I'm going to assume everybody's good by the silence. So everybody, you know, just a couple check-ins tonight, but that's okay. A lot of good stuff happening. So stay focused. You know, I want some CEO level activity every day. I don't care if it's 10 minutes. You got to get out of the daily grind and be thinking about direction. What are the holes that need filled in? Where's this thing going? You know, in the next 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, that kind of thing. Making sure your goals are written down so you have a clear picture of what the future looks like. And then it comes down to daily three things. When your feet hit the bed, where am I generating leads today? Where are leads coming from? Who's doing it? How many offers can we make? Or what properties are we making offers on? And where am I going to meet some new buyers? Who are the buyers I can talk to today? But if that's one, I'm telling you, if it's only one a day, it's a successful day when it comes to buyers. But those three items, keep those in front of you at all times, all right?
Sounds good, I'm Mike
Glenn. Yep, thank all you,
right.
Sir.
Yep, good stuff, everyone. Let's have a productive, obviously, end of the week here and weekend. Look forward to checking in with everybody on Monday. any questions, get them in ASAP to that coaching email. And I want to, hey, if there is a, let's do this, go online. If you're on this call, go online into your market. Obviously, you're not going to, right, you're not going to go to a meetup. All right, here's the thing. If you end up in your remote market, and you likely will at some point, fly out when there's a either a big meetup or a RIA meeting, right? That's when you want to plan your trip. Go out and plug in with some of the locals. Hang out at the local real estate club, right? In the meantime, in the next 30 days, find out where one is locally and show up. Go to a meetup or go to this and bring your message. You're going to meet some people there.
I'll go.
You know, like Mike, you're on the phone here. You're in Denver. You're going to go to a meetup. People are going to be beating their head against the wall saying, I can't find a deal, and if I do, it costs $350,000. And so you need your quick little, hey, I'm buying elsewhere. Here's what the returns look like. Yada, yada, yada. Have you thought about buying out of state? Do you know anybody that's buying out of state? I'd love to chat with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's get to a meetup in the next 30 days. Look them up. You can go to meetup.com and search in your area, or just do a Google search for real estate club in your local market where you live. And I'm not, you know, nothing's mandatory, but I'm just saying Larry showed up at a meetup, and he's trying to put together a 49-package deal, 49-address deal, right? I'm not saying, right, obviously you show up once and that's going to happen, but you just never know who you're going to meet when you show up.
If you don't show up, it's certainly not going to happen.
If you don't show up,
right.
Right. If Larry doesn't go, he has a zero chance of being in on that deal. But he showed up. And here's the thing. His motives weren't even clean. He just went to drink. He admitted it. Unbelievable. Crack me up. Yeah, I felt like having a couple drinks, so I went, and he walked out with that. Unbelievable. I'm telling you, man. Something magic when you showed up. I figured this out my last year of college. If I just would show up, it took me a while. My grades weren't great. And then my senior year, I'm like, you know what? If I just show up, I would know what was going on, and this would be a lot easier. So I decided to show up, and I made the dean's list. I didn't study any harder. I didn't do anything different other than show up to class. And I went from, like, C-plus grades to straight A's my last year. That's all I did was show up. And it took, you know, I should be more intelligent. I should have figured it out quicker, but I'm slow like that. And life after school work, it's no different. Just show up. Most people don't show up. Show up and you got the upper hand. So, all right, everybody, find something to go to in the next 30 days. Something good will come from it. All right?
Sure thing, Mike.
All right,
man. Have a good night. Thank you.
Yep, have a good afternoon. Good night, wherever you're at. We'll chat soon.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Yep.